Regis taking it well on the chest, and a lovely piece of control by Regis. Oh, and what a great shot! Oh, one of the goals of the season!
It was voted goal of the season in 1982, and it's a goal for all seasons. A one-man counter-attack of savage beauty. Earlier this week, when I heard that Cyril Regis had died at the age of 59, that passage of play from more than 35 years ago instantly came to mind. It was probably the same for thousands of other football fans. The goal came against Norwich City in the FA Cup. Regis was playing for West Bromwich Albion at the time. He'd joined the club in May 1977 as a 19-year-old, and he was part of the side that finished third in 1979 and fourth in 1981. Laurie Cunningham and Brendan Batson also played in that West Brom team, and as they too were black, the triumvirate became known as the Three Degrees.
When will I see you?
And when the actual American pop group toured Britain, there was naturally a publicity shot of the ladies with the lads.
Will I have to wait forever?
Last Sunday, Regis suffered a heart attack. He leaves behind a wife, Julia, as well as two children and three grandchildren. There have been tributes to his skills on the field and the mental strength he showed to succeed. When Regis was plying his trade with Batson and Cunningham, they were routinely subjected to racist taunting.
Bullying of the black players paid off there, or repaid by Tony Brown.
They didn't let it get to them.
Cunningham being booed there, but unperturbed.
That was Old Trafford in 1981. Now, three of Manchester United's leading strikers are black. One is Belgian, another is French, and the other is a local lad named Marcus Rashford. Gary Bennett's also Manchester-born, but his playing days are done. They came at the same time as Regis, in a world very different from our own.
Very hostile, you know, from my background in regards of playing, especially in the 80s, and my brother as well, who was in the 70s as well. He's 2.5 years older than me, and just a case of keeping your head down and getting on with it, trying to deal with it the best you can. You know, you try to explain to younger people now in regards of what racism was really like, especially being a footballer on the terracing. And they mostly think that you're from a different arcade, really, a different century. You know, the violence that went on, and it was, you know, it's something which we have to accept. You know, it was something if we complained about, then, you know, when you start talking about stereotyping, you know, black players were stereotyped. They were stereotyped in the case of, oh, they've got a chip on the shoulder, or they're just moaning about because they've been called a name. They should just get on with it. They couldn't play, and especially when it was the winter time, they couldn't play. You know, they didn't work hard enough. So there's a lot of different things which obviously we had to deal with. But again, it was just a case of getting your head down, getting on with it, and hopefully it would improve.
Well, the environment has changed. Money from TV rights and sponsorship has made English football much more cosmopolitan. Of course, attitudes have been transformed, and that's in no little part to the organisations that have been set up to tackle racism in the game. In 1993, Herman Ouseley established the campaign group Kick It Out as part of the drive to promote equality in the game. 25 years later, he's the chairman.
I think this situation back in the 1970s with players like Laurie Cunningham, Brendan Batson and Cyril Regis was one in which there was a culture of you want to play football, you want to be successful, you don't challenge management, you don't react to the abuse you get. If you lose your focus, you're not performing. If you're not performing, you're not in the team. These guys were ambitious, they were talented, they wanted to succeed in spite of prejudice, so they would do whatever they had to do. To be a black footballer, you had to perform on the pitch. You had to, at times, ignore the abuse coming at your way, ignore the fruit being thrown at you, the monkey noises, the boos. But they knew that they couldn't be challenging the authorities just yet, simply because the support wasn't there, the understanding wasn't there, the sympathy and the empathy for what they were going through was clearly misunderstood by those who ran football. And these guys had to attune themselves to what would be possible as a level of acceptance, what they had to do to show how good they were.
Well, Regis was good. He was the third black man after Viv Anderson and Cunningham to play for England. He scored 112 goals in 297 appearances for West Brom before moving on to Coventry City, where he was part of the side that won the FA Cup in 1987. Dave Bennett, Gary's brother, was also in that team.
I played centre-forward alongside Sil, and we just had a great, great season together because of our bonding and our friendship. You know, was topped by winning the cup final that year, and, you know, with the trials and tribulations that we've gone through our lives, it was a great to win, and especially you do it with your best mate.
Do you think that bonding was because you were both black and you felt you could trust him in a way that you might not have been able to trust another white player?
Well, obviously, because you were brought up with West Indian descent. You're playing with a player that, obviously, in our era, there's a lot of racism going on and everything like that. And you play with a player who alongside you, who you can talk to. And then if you're on your own, you might just go in a little hole because someone might have said something and you clamp up. But I was playing with him. He knew what it was like. We started out about the same time, so we could deal with it. So we had a lot in common. So the bond was just a matter of time, I suppose.
And you managed to maintain that bond after your playing days. Was it easy to maintain the bond when you didn't have that immediate hostility to refer to?
Obviously, after we finished, we kept in touch with each other. Obviously, we'd been more things in common, like your wives and girlfriends and kids. And like I say, I've got two brothers. I've got Gary, my little brother, and Sil was my big brother.
Obviously, it's been a tough week. What made him so special as a friend?
How he carried himself. He never lost his temper. He always had time for people. He's always there for you. He'd talk to you. Always wanted to put you on the right track. A lot of attributes. Always wanted to carry himself with a little bit of dignity. You know, he was a modest man, but funny. He had his jokes. He had his times. He was, used to run a little jokes between us, and he was always having time for people, and which come out with, like you say, with the trials and tribulations that have gone on in his life, and to do what he's done is a compliment to the man.
Regis was planning a Caribbean cruise with his wife for his 60th birthday next month. Instead, a time of celebration has become a moment of mourning. Dave Bennett told me he would try to remain cheerful.
Yes, he's a chosen man. He's a chosen. He's my man. You know, the memories are magnificent. Went to visit the family, and all I wanted to do was talk about the good times. I didn't want to talk about the bad times at all. He would have been fussy about this now. You know, he'd have been like quite a modest man. He wouldn't want all this. You know, he wouldn't want all this. You know, he'll take a little bit of it, but he wouldn't have want all this fuss about him. You know, he would have been, oh yeah, all right, yeah, yeah. Take this and right, let's go home now. that's the measure of the man. He wouldn't have, all right, let's go home now. Let's finish. Let's done.
That's a good tribute.
Yeah, he's a special man to me. We talk about our kids, we talk about our tribulations, and that's probably what helped us. Like, we speak a little bit of Patois. So if that guy was calling me, so, hey, see, you see that guy? You know, in my car, my Al-Qaeda, I think, hey, you know what I mean? And we can look after each other. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
He deserves respect and his accolades, what he's going to get over the next 3 or 4 weeks. All the accolade he gets, he deserves, because he's a magnificent man, a magnificent gentleman, and a brilliant friend to me.
And that was Dave Bennett, a former teammate of Cyril Regis, who's died at the age of 59. Well, that's it from Sports Insight for this week. My thanks to Alain Bleu for studio production. From me, Paul Myers, ciao.
Cunningham letting the ball beat Houston. And he's away again to show that pace and grace and control. Just a nicely weighted little pass for Ali Brown, who's turned inside Brian Greenough. On for Regis. Oh, what a goal! Oh, what a magnificent goal! and then Regis with the deadly finish.